Dictionary.com defines opportunity as an appropriate or favorable occasion. Life holds all kinds of opportunities for everyone. There is a great variety and variation of opportunities, and some of the variety in scope or magnitude depends upon many factors. Sometimes it depends upon where you are. Sometimes it depends upon the time. Sometimes opportunities vary according to our abilities. But to every single one of us, tremendous opportunities come. We have often called this land in which we live, the United States of America, the land of opportunity. Winston Churchill said many years ago, "A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, while an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." I believe there is some wisdom in that. Many times the opportunities are there, but whether or not we see the opportunity, whether or not we recognize the opportunity as a valid opening to accomplish something favorable or something good, often depends entirely upon our attitude. This evening I want us to talk about opportunities, and especially from a spiritual standpoint. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, "I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." The New Century Version translates verse 9 as, "A good opportunity for a great and growing work has been given to me." A good opportunity for a great and growing work has been given to me now. For the sake of our discussion this evening, I'd like for us to think first of all about the fact that the opportunities we're going to be talking about, the very best of opportunities, are furnished by God. God gives us the opportunities that we have. Now, God works in many ways, and it is impossible for us to completely understand, predict, or explain the way that God works whenever He works. And sometimes it's difficult for us to even say, "Why, yes, that was God working right there." We have to accept His promises by faith and understand that He works in ways that are beyond our understanding, as He causes things to happen through the unfolding of His providential care. Opportunities upon opportunities come into our lives. I want you to take a little stroll with me for a few minutes back through the Scriptures, and let's just look at some opportunities that were afforded some folks, even though in all of these passages I don't think we're going to come across the word opportunity a single time. In fact, that word only occurs just a handful of times in the New Testament. But I think we're going to come to the conclusion that it doesn't have to be called an opportunity necessarily to really be an opportunity. Or to put it another way, there are many opportunities, both in Scripture and also in our lives, that we may not necessarily use that word or that title, opportunity, to describe it. You'll see what I mean as we look at some of these passages. We'll first go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. You remember the setting of the book of Jeremiah. We call him the weeping prophet, and for good reason. Jeremiah lived and prophesied before and during the time that God's people, the southern kingdom of Judah, were carried away into Babylonian captivity. A great portion of Jeremiah's work before the captivity actually started was spent in crying out and preaching and predicting and prophesying and begging and pleading with God's people to turn from their sinful ways, to repent, and to be restored. And yet Jeremiah's cries fell on deaf ears, and as he literally wept in sadness and concern for God's people, it didn't seem to do any good. And in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, in one of the prophecies that Jeremiah speaks and gives concerning God's people, he quotes what the people are going to say during the years of captivity. He says, they will say, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Those are some of the saddest words you'll find in Scripture, referring to a time when God's people will finally recognize that they need to do something, but it's too late to accomplish what could have been accomplished had they repented of their sin before that time. Jeremiah says, they will wake up. You will wake up and you will recognize that it's too late to forestall the captivity, and you'll come to the conclusion that now the time is past and we are in captivity, but we're still not saved. God's people had missed a tremendous opportunity to get their relationship with the Father back on the right track. We'll fast forward a good bit now to Matthew chapter 25. In the first portion of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells that parable of the 10 virgins, and you remember 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. The thing that distinguished the foolish virgins, or the thing that they did or failed to do that was so noticeable, was the lack of preparation. The fact that they did not prepare for a long delay and buy extra oil and bring it with them for their lamps, but having no extra, they ran out of fuel for their lamps and then had to leave their station as they waited for the bridegroom and go and buy more oil. You remember the story how that while they were gone to the merchants to buy what they needed, the bridegroom came, the wedding party went on into the wedding feast, and when they came back from buying their oil, the door was already closed and they were unable to get in. Those 5 foolish virgins will always remind us of the necessity to make the proper preparation for something that is coming that will not wait. A lot of people take the view that in the end, when everything is over and this life ends, I'm going to, at the last instant, make things right with God and everything will be squared up and I'll be okay. We need to read Matthew 25 again and remind ourselves of the importance of making preparation ahead of time. As the Bible tells of those 5 virgins who missed the opportunity to prepare themselves for something that would not wait. It's also in Matthew chapter 25 that we read about those people who were entrusted with various amounts of their master's money. The 1 talent man is the one that we'll focus on for just a minute, and he's the one who reminds us of how important it is to take the opportunities that are given to us to make something positive with what we have. The Bible tells how that he took the talent of money and went because he was afraid of the strictness of his master and buried it in the ground so that when his master came back, at least he hadn't lost it. It was there to deliver back to the rightful hands. And you remember, he was condemned because he didn't take what he'd been entrusted with and put it to use so that it could be productive. He missed an opportunity to be productive with what he had been entrusted with. Still, again, in Matthew chapter 25, we find another story of opportunities missed as the Lord describes the judgment scene and in detail tells about those who would be turned away because they had missed the opportunities to serve. The Lord said, I will say, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you like this? And he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. These people stand as a reminder of how important it is to be of service to those around us. And the opportunities that are missed, many will never be repeated, and some of them will be very costly to us. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41, we find the disciples with Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. They had a tremendous opportunity to be of assistance and help the Lord and to watch there with him as he prayed. And you remember what they did? They went to sleep. Jesus came back and found them sleeping. And he said, could you not watch with me just 1 hour? They missed the opportunity. They had been entrusted with responsibility, but they went to sleep. And then in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 and 42, Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem. And I believe the city of Jerusalem here characterizes all of the Jewish nation as the Lord weeps over their rejection. They had missed the opportunity to accept him and recognize him as the promised Messiah. And because of their rejection of the Lord, terrible things would come to them. You'll notice there's one common thread that passes through every one of these passages. And that's the fact that there comes a time when opportunity ceases. It might not be correct to say in every case opportunity only knocks once, as we've heard it said. But one thing is for sure. There will come a time when opportunities will be passed, and there won't be another opportunity. In view of the seriousness of opportunities, maybe we should look at how we should handle them, noticing just briefly three ways to prepare for opportunity and to deal with opportunity when it arrives. Number one, we need to be alert. If we cannot recognize opportunities when they come our way, we won't be able to use them. If we're distracted or if we're busy with lesser things and don't recognize those opportunities, they'll pass us by. Opportunities are hard to recognize when we're busy searching for loopholes. That seems to be something that characterizes our culture today, our society. Everybody's looking for ways to get out of things. Everybody's looking for a way to keep from having to do this. When you're so busy looking for loopholes or reasons for not doing something, when an opportunity comes, you'll never recognize it. You'll never be able to see it. We need to be watchful for opportunities and spend less time trying to figure out how to avoid participation, avoid accountability, avoid involvement. Let's look for opportunities to do those things. Number two, let me suggest that we must, as we look for opportunities, we must be diligent. I believe a wholesome part of diligence is availability. Availability. Perhaps the foolish virgins were busy with other things and just didn't get around to buying extra oil before it was too late. Perhaps those folks in judgment there in Matthew chapter 25 were too busy with other things to be of service to those around them. Perhaps Judah in the Old Testament was just too busy with other things and just was not available to patch up their relationship with God. The apostles were certainly too busy sleeping and resting to watch for the Lord in the garden, and the one talent man was obviously too preoccupied with his fear to do anything with the talent that he had. Sometimes diligence means focusing on what's before us in a responsible way. I have read that in the late 1950s and early 1960s, as our nation was in very serious competition with the Russians to see who could make the most progress in exploring space, one of the earlier difficulties that NASA identified was the fact that in zero gravity, conventional ink pens, as we call them, wouldn't work. And so, as our government often does, a search was made to find a consulting engineer or someone to develop the right kind of pen that could be used by the astronauts in outer space. And a company by the name of Anderson Consulting was hired to develop that right pen. And 10 years and $12 million later, they came out with a pen that would work. It would write in zero gravity. It would write upside down. It would write underwater. It would write on most any surface, including a hard surface like ceramics. It would work in a temperature range that spanned from far below freezing to about 300 degrees centigrade. Perfect. What were the Russians doing during this time? They were using pencils. They were using pencils. Pencils work great in outer space. You know, sometimes we need to be a little bit more diligent in looking at the opportunities before us, because sometimes we can make things so complicated that by the time we're finished muddling everything up, you can't tell what it started out to look like. Opportunities come our way. We need to be diligent to handle them correctly. Thirdly, we need to be wise. We need to be wise enough to know how to use the opportunities. Part of wisdom comes from preparation. The preparation that results in wisdom has a lot to do with God's Word, the instruction. We'll never be wise enough to use the opportunities correctly if we don't study the instructions. We need to be wise enough to know how to use the opportunities. We need to be wise enough to give God the glory. opportunities do not come along to enable us a chance to get glory or limelight or recognition. And so many good things have been corrupted by desire to get credit. Squabbles over who needs to have the recognition. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." The New Living Translation renders verse 16 as, "Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days." Jesus speaks of opportunity in John 4, verse 35, when he says, "The fields are white already unto harvest." And in Matthew 9, verse 37, when he said, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." We need to be alert and diligent and wise. Do this for me. Take a quiet few minutes at home tonight or sometime soon. Take a pencil and a piece of paper. You can use your pen if you'll not write upside down. And start making a list of all of the opportunities around you. The opportunities to do good, the opportunities to accomplish the will of God, the opportunities that have so much to do with the spiritual aspect of our lives. You will be amazed. If you'll put some thought into it, you will never be able to reach the end of the list. God never stops giving us opportunities. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.